What's going on, everybody? You're tuned into the More Than Paper Marriage podcast with the Jaspers and Johnsons right here on Transform City Radio. This is the podcast where we discuss the triumphs and challenges of marriages and how we can have a thriving marriage in spite of it all. Because guess what? Life happens to us all, but we have to find a way to get through it. So tune in for these conversations. And while you're getting ready for this dynamic word, this dynamic discussion that we're going to have tonight about sex and about sex in marriage. Let me say that about sex in marriage. First and foremost, let me say, Mama, if you're watching this, go ahead and turn it off now. You are excused and dismissed from tonight's session. So go ahead and turn that off now, Mama. If you're watching this right now, go ahead and turn your TV to something else. I believe the Golden Girls is on right now and you can watch that tonight. Or Fred Sanford or something instead of this. Amen. But tonight we'll be talking about marriage and sex. You can take a moment as well and copy the link and send it to somebody. Somebody's marriage, you know, that needs to be refreshed. Somebody's marriage that needs to be healed. Somebody's marriage that needs a new perspective. Go ahead and copy the link and send it to somebody. If you're on Facebook, please take a moment and share it. If you're just tuning in this very moment, again, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us for Under the Knife Bible Study. Again, this is our special session on Thursdays. We take time out with the married couples, the Johnson and the Jaspers. If you don't know who the Jaspers are, they are the people that are over our marriage ministry. And so we have an intimate discussion about marriage, a lot of different things, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, right? And we also use this for our podcast on Transform City Radio. So wherever it's our podcast radio station, wherever you get podcasts or listen to podcasts, you can type in Transform City Radio and hear this show and a lot of other shows. And so we thank God for that. I'm going to take a moment and pray us in, okay? Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for what you're going to say through your word. We thank you for the yokes that are destroyed. We thank you for the heavy burdens that are lifted. We thank you for the revelation that is coming to married couples. We thank you for those, Lord, that may feel like their marriage is over, that through your grace, through your spirit, they can begin again. For your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for everyone that you draw into the broadcast. Thank you for those who, Lord, will take hold of your word. It'll take root and forever change their life. We call marriages under the center of our voice blessed, restored, healed, repaired, rejuvenated, revived, thriving in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you, Father God, for every precious person under the sound of my voice. And I thank you, God, that as they give heed to your word, the best is still yet to come. We love you. We honor you. Thank you for Deacon Elvin and Teacher Sherelle. Thank you for their marriage, Father. I appropriate the blood of Jesus over their marriage. I thank you for all that you're doing in their life, Father. I thank you, God, that the best is still yet to come for them, Lord, as they lead us in marriage ministry. I thank you, Father God, for revelation, for witty ideas. I thank you, Father God, that you have prospered them beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Take a moment, check in, say something in the chats. Come on, this is virtual. This is our virtual sanctuary, so we need you to engage. Amen. Hallelujah is in your fingertips tonight. And so we thank God for you. And I'm going to turn it over to Deacon Elvin and Teacher Sherelle. Go ahead, y'all.
All right, y'all. So again, welcome to More Than Paper Bible Study. And so tonight, let's talk about it. Let's talk about sex. It's definitely important, vital, that we, the body of Christ, us who are believers in Jesus, us who are trying to follow biblical principles as best as we can and really be led of the Holy Spirit, that we take hold of this topic of sex, take dominion, have conversations about it, of course, wholesome, holy, respectful conversation, of course, but definitely have conversations about this. Marriage is full of different factors that's necessary to be able to sustain a marriage, to have a marriage last and be prosperous, right? But one of the things that we try to, sometimes in the church, I feel like we shy away from, even though we know everybody doing it, we don't talk about sex often, and it can still sometimes feel a little uncomfortable to even speak about it or think about it. But and a lot of times we find that people are struggling, even married, like they're struggling sexually with pornography and just different sexual immorality, adultery and such. And so we want to make sure that we are a safe space. And that's the point of Prime Marriage Ministry anyway, that it will be a safe space and that we build a circle where married couples can come and have the real conversations that's necessary about, you know, about marriage and all. And so sex is definitely one of those topics that we need to constantly come back to. If you are married, you know, have conversation, review, and all of that. So we'll get into all of that. But I first want to read the scripture that I'm basing tonight's discussion out of, and that's Proverbs 5. And I'm going to start at verse 15. So that's Proverbs 5. Verse 15, and it reads, and I'm reading out a New Living Translation. It reads, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman, or fondle the breasts of a promiscuous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for a lack of self-control, and he will be lost because of his great foolishness. And so I know that in that particular Proverbs, it's like the son, you know, the son is being spoken to about the woman that he chased. But this scripture, you know, is directly telling us like that we should be drinking from each other's well. We should be satisfied in each other. And so what I want to do tonight is, because when it comes to you know, just being in the church or being in the body of Christ, sometimes sex, we always go to the negative, we always go to what's bad and all the, you know, we kind of jump into why certain stuff is wrong. Tonight I want us to talk about, I want us to start off first defining sex as God ordained it. What did God, like, I want each of us to just talk about different points or different things that you have learned from study, from prayer about sex, how God has said it, has ordered it. And then I want to talk about the benefits, like what benefits do we get when we encounter, you know, we have sex that is pleasing and satisfying and thriving to our marriage. I want to talk about what's the benefits, and then kind of go into how do couples come together and have amazing sex, and then we'll just kind of take it from there, because we're going to go from there. Okay, so I got some hard questions that I want to ask as well. All right, so I'm gonna start off with the Johnsons. Define sex as God defined it. Go ahead,
woman of God. So I will say that one definition, I would say that how God defines sex is one man, one woman coming together for pleasure and procreation.
I mean, you can't get no simpler than, I knew Brandy would just have it to the point, which is why I said, just go for it, bruh. yes, for procreation, for pleasure. And I would even want to say for spiritual means, only because the oneness that, you know, God is talking about, it's a spiritual concept. Everybody, you know, that you lay with, there is a oneness that's happening. There is a knitting of the souls. I know this from experience because, of course, I wasn't a virgin before I was married. Thank God I ain't procreate with any of them. Thanking God for it. I cannot lie and say that it was not pleasurable, right? Because sin is pleasurable for a season. But then there's like a season of torment that you kind of get led into. And then I will say that I had to, going through deliverance from the spirit of lust, because that's a real thing, from incubus and succubus, those sexual demons that kind of rape you throughout your nighttime, and you know, all of these sexual perversion spirits that kind of attach themselves to you. Going through deliverance, not only did I have to have like hardcore deliverance, like spitting these up, or you know, however it manifested, because it's going to be different for every person that goes through real deliverance from these spirits, but not only had I had to do that, but the inner healing, the undoing of those soul ties, was a real work, because I had to go back and learn. You lose your, I don't want to say you lose your identity, but when you're knitted with someone who is not in covenant with you, and you don't even have a clue about who you are, you do lose your identity in that process. And so I had to pretty much go back to who I was. Do I really like ice cream, or do I like ice cream because he like ice cream? Do I really like to do this? Or, you know, I had to like go through like this whole reinstitution of who is Quiana, to bring myself back, you know, for God to really give me that freedom that I need, where I can, I'm able to have my own mind, make my own decisions, be my own individual person. And I think that's, you know, kind of one of the reasons why God has to set up the way he do. And I think people miss out on the purpose of singlehood. It's about discovering your individuality before you try to link yourself up with another individual that you're going to be soul knit to. So let's leave it there.
That's good. And I want, yes, everybody in the comments, if you have any comments you want to add, I love what Pastor Trinise Hall just said. If you have any questions that you want to ask tonight, please drop them in the comment section while we are discussing, and we will try to get your question as soon as it come up. Deacon Elvin, define sex for us. That was good. That was good, y'all.
Look, Pastor Queen went in. I forgot what the question was.
I said define sex.
She didn't answer 40 questions.
No. You know how we go.
No, yeah. No problem.
So define sex as God has defined it, as he has ordered. Define sex.
Well, I kind of like defined it as in like, it is like really the one way that you really become one. Like the interlocking of your body, you know what I'm saying? The way he created the man and the woman, it's like a puzzle piece. So it's like, you know, so it's like when you lock it in, it creates the picture when he says oneness, it creates the picture when you lock in. So it's like that's what I get from it when I define, you know, kingdom marriage sex.
And that's why I said it's spiritual, because when God breathed into us, he breathed portions of his femininity and the woman, which we call female, and I don't want to put gender to it, it's really characteristics, y'all know I taught on this before, but it's like he breathed in two, and then he said, this is the male, and they gonna have some characteristics of me, this is the female, and they gonna have some characteristics of me. So of course, like you said, even though there's a physical interlocking, there's also a spiritual dynamic that is happening.
Right.
Very good, dude. Right. I love that.
I would say too that, and I agree with, just to add on to everything that y'all already said, I would say too that sex is not the covenant itself, but it's the seal of the covenant. Like, and so that's why it's important, like, because I have heard people say, you know, because we didn't have sex, we won now, we married. You know, they make the sex the cup, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, that's I really have heard multiple times. And so I believe that God gave us sex, man and woman, married, sex as a gift to seal and to to experience the covenant in a physical way. You know, it's a way for us to enjoy each other. Go ahead, Pastor Brad.
I just was wanted to add onto the road that you're going down to, and I've heard this said before, and I don't know why it didn't come to my mind until now. Exactly what you said. Sex is really what sex is spiritually is, and I've heard people say this in marriage, that sex is a form of worship. And what sex represents is a form of worship for the covenant that's been created. A form of worship to symbolize the gratefulness for a covenant that has just been created. And so when you look at things in the Bible, when you look at other religions, they have orgies, right? Sex is always a part of every, of course, we're a faith, not a religion, but sex is a part of every religion. If you look throughout history, it's a part of every religion. The reason it is because it's important to worship when a covenant is created. And so for us, we are following the standard of the Most High God, Yahweh, that when a man and a woman come together, there's a, so anybody that's having sex outside of the covenant of God, outside of God's way, you're basically worshiping a demonic spirit or a demonic entity, because sex is reserved, is a form of worship. And that's why, because people say, no, it ain't that deep. Then why does every pagan religion, every witchcraft religion, even the Church of Satan and all of that, why do they always insist on there being some type of sex act that happens? Why? Because a covenant is sealed by worship. Come on, when we have an experience in our churches where somebody is healed, Pastor, you said, come on, lift your hands, let's worship God. Why? Because we're just sealing what God has done. And so we worship because we're sealing what has been done. And so when you are not married and you're having sex with people, even if you say, well, I go to church and all that, but covenant doesn't mean that you can only have one covenant. I know we're going in another path, but it don't mean you can have one covenant. You can be serving the Lord thy God in one way, Yahweh, and then be doing something with somebody else. It means that you're entering into multiple covenants. It's like having multiple wives. You're entering into multiple. That's why the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that you went about whoring yourself on every altar to every God, meaning that you made a covenant with me, yes, but you also make a covenant with others as well by every time that you seal the covenant with a form of worship. And so we are saying to God, Lord, I thank you for my wife, or for women, they said, I thank you for my husband. We made this covenant before you. And every time that we come together, it's beautiful in God's sight, because we say, God, I worship you, that I thank you, that I honor what you have done. And I will get into that in a little bit. I ain't gonna go no further.
I think it's, oh, my bad. Go ahead.
Cool. No, I was gonna say, Pastor Brad, that's exactly the solidification of the spiritual, because I think that it's a natural thing that is happening on a spiritual plane, but it's also, like you said, in correlation, when we actually worship God, what you're doing is giving your soul, you're knitting your soul to the soul of Christ, which is his spirit, which is how you get the mind of God. That's why worship is so key. So when you have people who don't worship, you know, they knitting themselves to other things, media and other people and stuff like that. But that's what worship is about. That's why God, like you said, because I mean, most of the freaking Old Testament talked about a horn around. He really constituted you worshiping other things as idolatry and even the more harlotry and prostitution. Like, those are some hard words, but they are real words, because it's you giving yourself over to other things except me. I'm married to you, but are you married to me? I love that.
And every cult has some type of sexual thing too. Sorry, teacher, if you ever look at, do your research on cults. Every cult has a sexual twist on it. It's never just about, yeah, it never has anything. It never is all about serving the God and you ain't doing that. It always has some type of sexual twist to it. Every cult, because it's involved. Yeah. Even people have multiple wives and say they serving God. And they say, it got something sexual with it. Yeah. It's always because it's a form of worship. And every spiritual entity requires worship.
And to piggyback off of that, I was gonna say, like, if you think about how God sets everything up for us, it's kind of like the sermon you taught about being under God's umbrella. Like, God makes things holy, and you always experience the fullness of what it's supposed to be when you stay under the umbrella, or you stay within the boundaries that God set. And so, you know, when you see orgies, process, when you see anything goes, it's outside of God's bounds, and you find that where things be looking like it's wide open and it's just so fun, that's where the most entrapment be. That's where the most bondage be. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's another you know, when we define sex as God defined it and we operate in the way he operates, you know, that there's a better chance of experience more, you know, the fullness of what he meant it to be from the beginning. But when we just, when you start tapping into some other stuff, you start letting, you know, other worship into your bedroom and then it gets all over the place. But that's good, y'all.
Can I add one other piece?
Before we move on, I was going to say, Pastor Brad, I got a message that, from your mama that said, I'm not going nowhere. The devil is a liar.
Come on, Brad. Don't do that to mama.
Here's one more that the Lord just dropped on me. So another definition of sex. Sex is also how God designed sex. Sex is also a exchanging of strongholds. An exchanging of strongholds. When you begin to lay with somebody, especially when, because see, the thing about believers is that even though none of us got it all together, if both of us are seeking after God, we're getting delivered as we go, right? But when you begin to lay with people, their struggles become your struggles because you exchange strongholds as you lay with folks. I have known women who knew who Jesus was, who loved the Lord, who was serving him, and they began to date somebody that was an atheist. And then they started to have sex with them. And the more that they laid with them, the more doubtful they became of their God. Why? Because their strongholds, he don't believe in no God. His stronghold is now becoming, whether he discussed it with you and you said, no, I still serve the Lord God. Something happens when you lay with people that their strongholds become your strongholds. And so that's why God said, don't lay with folks and that's what the Bible says, be not unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Why? That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, don't marry these pagan women who got all these other gods, because the more that you lay with them, their strongholds, which are ways of thinking that are contrary to the will of God, their strongholds become your strongholds. And so you wake up saying, why do I feel this way? I won't never think about nothing like that. Just like for ladies, you get with a freaky man that's into stuff that you ain't never had no inkling or desire to do. And 3 months down the road, you up against the wall with your face in the toilet. Talking about, what am I? Come on, we being real tonight. Yeah. What I'm doing, you talking about something. Now let's just be real, because y'all know what's out there. Now, you a dental hygienist, and then we look around 3 months down the road and you come into a pastor's for counsel, something, pastor, I don't know what, but now I got a taste to eat booty. Elvin is done. You doing things that you know in your right mind that you would never do. You doing some crazy stuff that you never thought about. Elvin can't get himself together. You can't get yourself together, right? But you won't think about nothing like that. That won't even in your mind. That won't something that you were into. And now all of a sudden, I know we're about to get 80 folks on here now. Now all of a sudden you got all these desires that you didn't have. Now you ain't, and some of the things that they into, you never even tried. But because when you lay with them, their strongholds, it's almost like, and y'all hear me when I'm saying this. Because if you look at the female body and the male body coming together, the male inside a female almost looks like a bridge. Follow me. It almost looks like a bridge. You're forming a bridge, right? And so when you form a bridge, things that form a bridge, you can come across. Come on, somebody. And so what you do is you find yourself saying, I've never even done that, but now I got a desire to do something that I've never even done. And before you got with them, you never even thought about that. Why? Because you formed a bridge with something where you can exchange and things can cross that you didn't even think about. Sex is much deeper than just what's physical.
Yeah. Now that's one of my, I want y'all to keep going on that, because that's one of my questions actually. It's a little off, but it's close. So if two people though, I heard this before, we committed to each other, you know, we gonna be together. Why does it matter if we wait? Like, why we can't, like, we engage. So why we can't just go ahead and, you know, it's hard to not burn, you know, how we just can't do it early. Go ahead, hit the question.
I was gonna say, y'all know we be like, God knows my heart. Yeah, he know that you ain't got no discipline in your life, because that's a fruit that he commands to be in our life. It's really about, do you want to honor the Lord, or you just want to do you? And you got to answer that question legitimately. Like, you think that's the excuse that when you stand before God, you go ahead and figure out if that's the excuse you want to actually come off across your lips, because that ain't gonna hold up. Because in all things, especially when Jesus talk about that, you know, that, you know, all of this is common to man and all that, but he make a way for every escape of temptation. Now, you know, you ain't even trying to escape. You trying to sit in it. Like, and so be honest with yourself. You know, God loves honesty. He wants you to be hot or cold, not lukewarm, but at least be real with yourself about the moment. Don't try to play God or twist his word trying to do it, because now you become a deceiver and you start going down a road that's not conducive. You know what I mean? So, you know, people who say that, you can refute that with other parts, you know what I mean, of scripture that's not completely directly related, because you can talk about the discipline. You can talk about, you know what I mean, if you want to follow God's word, you know, because it's one thing if you didn't know. It's another thing that you know and you trying to literally make that thing be conducive for your situation. No, God's word still stands regardless, you know, and we're all accountable to what it said and what we know.
Well, go ahead, DL. All right. Well, I look at it like this. It's like the devil always, like, if he know he can't stop something that God is about to do, he would try to rush it. And so he would try to, you know, he would try to rush the plan. And by him rushing it, and by you disobeying the order that God has put in place, now you're inviting sin. You're inviting sin, which means you're inviting death into your relationship. So that's so somewhere down the line, when things start going left, and you wonder how, when everything was going good, it's because you invited death into your relationship before you, because the Bible says sin, you know, results in death. So the wages of sin are death. So by you rushing it, by you disobeying the law and the order of the way that God put it, you know, the boundaries that God put in place, now which the Bible says, if you know what to do and you don't do it, that's a sin. So he tells you that, you know, you're supposed to be in marriage when you perform sex. So now you're inviting sin, which you are inviting death into your relationship. So now when you go into covenant, you've already, you went into covenant before you went into covenant. You know what I'm saying? Like Pastor Brad was saying, you think this is the first covenant of marriage, but you have already, you know what I'm saying, created a covenant before it was time. So, and now that covenant is based out of sin instead of, you know, being based out of the glory of the Lord and what God wants to do in your relationship.
And let me jump in and be transparent, because we didn't wait. And so, but we had to, but see, sometimes it's like, oh, well, we'll, you know, you'll be all right, but you still have to go through the journey of trying to get back in alignment with God's order. And so our sexual journey hasn't been like, oh yeah, we just getting it in, we good over here. No, it's been a journey of up and down, like, you know what I'm saying, where we had to work through things, we had to have discussions, we had to, you know what I'm saying, we bickered about when, and you know what I'm saying, like, so I wonder, and I'm not even gonna wonder, I believe that when you don't follow the order of God, the consequences come to your life. Now, it ain't no condemnation, like, you forgiven, but there's still consequences that play out. And so it's important to think about that, like, just because, and a lot of times, what I find is that the reason I think it's so important to, like, discuss it and, like, let's just bust the door wide open and start having these conversations is because we don't have a reverence for for this, you know, we just don't have a reverence for it. It's like everybody does it. We know that people are doing it. We know that this person got a, you know, we know their sexual life is all over the place, but we ain't gonna talk about sex. Like, let's get to it. Let's talk about the deep of the deep. Now, anybody else got anything else?
Yeah.
I want to
touch on it. So a couple of things. So one thing I'll say is that God never violates his order for our desires. And so what we find a lot of times is we want God, because it's not just with sex, but anything. God has an order, and his order is perfect. The Bible says that he knows the end from the beginning. And so what that means is God knows the way it should go because he's already seen the outcome, right? And so what happens a lot of times is we'll say, well, we're not married, but we're getting married. But there are people that call up weddings on the day of the wedding at the altar. And so until you have made it all the way to the finish line, so to speak, there is still a way for that person to walk away from you, and they owe you nothing, right? And so God doesn't violate his order and say, oh, well, I understand, because y'all about to get married anyway in 2 months. There are people that wait till they get to the altar and say, I don't think I want to do this, right? And so we can't say that. And so the second thing I'll say is, if you're not ready for covenant, you're not ready for sex, right? If a man is not ready to fully cover you, meaning giving you his last name, giving you a joint heir, because you know that once you get married, everything that is his becomes yours, and everything that is yours becomes his. And so if you're not ready, if you say, well, that's too much responsibility for me, I ain't ready to do all that, then you're not ready for sex, right? And so we have to frame it right. We're in the kingdom. The world can do whatever, because the world has always done whatever. The world is going to be the world. But as king, and that's why I'm going to teach you a little bit of on Sunday, so you got to tune in on Sunday. As kingdom citizens, we have been trained, the Bible says we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. What does it mean to be kingdom? It means that I think about things differently, I talk about things differently, and I become different. Right. And so what happens is we're trying to adopt the world and say, well, everybody's doing it. But as in the kingdom, everybody isn't doing it. We're in a covenant. And to what you said, Sherelle, like I had said a little bit earlier, every time, it don't mean that you condemned if you fail before you got married or what have you. What it does mean, though, is that every time that you worship without there being a covenant with your God, meaning that you're married, you are worshiping a demonic God. I know we don't like to talk about stuff like that. So what does that mean, Pastor? Does that mean I'm not saved? No, it just means that you've invited demonic spirits, because our spirits are attracted by worship. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of Israel, or the people, or the praises of his people. Every time that we worship in any form, it attracts spiritual entities. So what does that mean? I'm engaged. We having sex before we get married. We getting it in. Then we get married. Well, just because you're now entered into the covenant, right? It means when you enter into the covenant, every time that you have sex after you're married, you're worshiping God. But that doesn't mean that the spirits that what you did before you got married have gone anywhere. It means that not only is God there to fight for you, you're right with God now, you're repenting of it, but now you got to clean up all those spirits and cast out all of those things that were entered in. You may have some struggles in your sex life, because not only, even though you're worshiping God now, these others have been invited into what you've done. And you have to really, and I don't want to go too deep, but you have to break the covenant that you made with them after you get married. So y'all not only got to repent, but you got to revoke and break the covenant with every spirit that's not the spirit of the living God that we invited in by worshiping before we did it. It's not just about repentance. It's about breaking covenant, because sex is a covenant.
And I think too, sometimes, I'm not gonna say all the time, but I believe that your relationship, it shows how much, how deep, how committed your relationship really is when somebody is willing to wait for you. Like I think that's a real thing. And I think that, you know, we have allowed, you know, I know I'm guilty of it. I have allowed, you know, the lies to come on through, not my husband, but just other, I have had sexual activity before him, and I allowed them lies to come through. You know, if you love me, I love you, I'm going to be committed to you, you know, and it's like, do we have a relationship? Like, we can't be together. We can't love each other without waiting. Like, that kind of, it makes you, you know what I'm saying? Like, as I get old, as I get in God, as I grow, I'm like, bruh, what was I thinking? Like, it was clear the game that was being played, but we still somehow just allow these, so I'm not even gonna say all that. So let's go to the next question. Let's go to the next one, because this is really good. Y'all are going crazy up in here. So let me pull up the next scripture that I want to read from, which is very familiar, out of Genesis 25. And it says that now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And so my question is, we're talking about kingdom marriages. We're talking about, you know, couples that's trying to follow Christ, that's trying to be in alignment with God's will, no compromise, right? So what are some actionable steps? What can you say to a couple that have been sexually frustrated, sexually struggling, and they want to be naked and ashamed with each other? Like, what are some practical steps, some spiritual steps? Like, give us some insight on what we can do to get back naked and ashamed with each other. Johnson's first.
We're talking about couples who are married. Okay. So we're talking about couples that are married. Let me speak for myself, okay? Now, Pastor Brad and I, we both did not have any sexual activity until we got married, okay?
With each other.
With each other, yes, with each other. Now, me, before him, yes. Him, he'll talk about his own story. But I will say this. When I entered in, even though I was buck wild before Bradley, right? And then I had to go through my deliverance moment. Even though I went through deliverance, I didn't realize how long my healing process was going to be and how deeply layered it was, okay? Let's top that off with, in my history also, I was molested when I was 5, okay? On several occasions by cousins, okay? And I'm talking about boy cousins and girl cousins, okay? And then let's talk about, you know, all of the, you know, laying around with different men, going from arm to arm, and God having to say, can you make a decision to come into my arms? Now, fast forward, Pastor Brad and I is married, and let's talk about the disassociation, right, that I didn't know I had and was doing all this time, thinking that it was pleasurable, but really, I was not connected to myself, my body, and really them. And so when we got into marriage, it really was a moment, because I was trying to figure out why I could not be completely really naked and ashamed. Now, there is a difference between someone who is like, I don't mind getting naked in front of them, but are you completely present? On many occasions, I was not present, like fully engaged. Intimacy means see into me. I wasn't seeing into him, and I won't gonna let him see into me, not for real, right? And I mean, as women, y'all can play games with sex to make it look like you was completely there, but you gotta be honest if you want a healthy sexual relationship. You gotta tell your whole story. You gotta tell that man your whole story, and the man needs to tell that woman his whole story. The people we be playing with before marriage, we ain't even telling them our story. We telling them what we want them to see. We are deceivers by nature, right? When you get in God, he is requiring full transparency. So when you get married under God, he is requiring full transparency. So this whole Genesis moment, this whole, you know, naked and unashamed, this ain't no, I'm taking off my clothes and you see me naked with all my flaws and my bumps and my, you know, my little rolls and stuff. And I got a birthmark over here, and I got a pimple over here, and we got a wart over here. That's not that. We are talking about the bearing of the soul and the experiences of the soul. And so there were times I couldn't even articulate what was wrong with me, because God was taking me through inner healing. And I even had to tell my husband, I don't even know what's wrong. I don't even know why I'm not in the mood. And the whole time I'm telling myself, I must be broken. because of all that I did. I must be broken, God. I must be a broken person. I must, you know, like, I ain't gonna never be able to turn it on because I turn it on for so many people out there. I can't even turn it on for my husband. The warfare that comes for women who struggle like that is real, and ain't nobody talking about it. But I'm gonna talk about it because who else gonna be free if you don't say nothing, right? So, and when I talk to women, everybody having a problem. And as a woman, we got those dynamics. We got the hormonal dynamic. We got the 2 weeks of the week of your menstrual and the week before your menstrual. You don't feel like nothing. You might have one good horny day that you can really give it all you got because your body is ready for really reproduction. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? You so emotionally distraught. You know, you might have a headache. You might, like, your body emotionally and, you know, hormonally, it's going through some stuff, and you got to contend with it. You got to try. And then let's not talk about that we ain't articulating to our spouse. I know I'm going in. But let's talk about when you don't articulate to your spouse the things that really don't honor you. And now he trying to warm you up, and you ain't turned on at all, like you an unplugged stove. Because you mad he do the dishes or the laundry or that his clothes end up in the floor or whatever your plight is, you not talking to him, but you holding it in and having a psychological war with yourself while he always free and thinking everything's legit and you deceiving the atmosphere because he thinking you good and you ain't good. But now he trying to cuddle up to you, but you ain't saying nothing for a week or two or three or the whole half a year. You mad. But you mad by yourself when you could have just said it. I'm talking about stuff I know because I did this to the pastor, Bradley Cornelius Johnson. And it's a real moment. And I'm telling you, there were times I couldn't articulate. There were times I had to say, honey, I need you to do A, B, and C because that honors me. This makes me happy when I come to, you know, have a clean kitchen or a clean home or, you know what I mean? Like, you got to articulate what type of experiences will help you be on. And if he wants you to be on, he'll do it easily. But you got to say something. You got to say something. So this naked and ashamed is about articulating your life experiences. What's on your mind? My husband asked me this so much. We got it from the time that we had buried our son and we had to bear our souls. Even through grief, what's on your mind? And from that point, that has been a reoccurring question. What is on your heart and what is on your mind? You wanna know why? Cause Pastor Brad, no, you get me to talking and articulating my soul, he know he can get it after that. I know it's his strategy. But a woman who can't fully express herself will fully give herself. And women, until you understand that moment, you're gonna always be trying to figure out if you broken. And that ain't true.
So I think I'll take it further down the road than in the direction that Pastor Queen took it in. I think for a couple that is struggling sexually, the first thing is that they had, as kingdom citizens, we were talking about kingdom marriage, people that are inside the kingdom of Christ. I think the first step is that you have to go to God and be honest about that there's something wrong, maybe with you or your spouse, but I'm talking about as an individual. And you have to face it with God before you can face it with them, right? For men, where men have trouble is talking about, like for instance, men are ashamed of certain things that may have happened, right? For one, sometimes men don't like to talk about all the women they've been with because they're afraid that it's gonna be disgusting in the sight of their wife. Number two, if men have been violated sexually in any way, shape, or form, molestation or whatever, they don't like talking about it. And so what they do is they bury it deep, hoping that nobody will ever find out where the bones are buried. But whatever you bury will show up in your marriage. And so it is important for us to go to God and to admit, to ask God, Lord, first of all, you have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to remember. Because some of us have blocked it out so much, we don't even know why. I'm not coming against what you said, Pastor Queen, but I'm coming from the perspective of when you know something is wrong, you have to ask God, where am I broken? Because sometimes we buried it so deep, we don't know where we broken. And it takes the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he'll bring all things to your remembrance. And he'll bring back to you when you start to seek after healing and deliverance experiences that you had that you forgot about, right? Then you have to ask God to give you grace to discuss it with your spouse. Because once you know, you got to talk about it. If you want your marriage to change, your sexual health to change in your marriage, you got to talk about it. You got to, because you have to put all, because think about it, it's like you knowing that the devil is hiding in a place, but you're trying to fight it without your spouse knowing, when the Bible says that two are better than one. And so you have to invite you and God in it, but you need to invite them into it too, because the Bible says that a three braided cord is not easily broken. And so, yes, God knows, now you are aware, you got to make your spouse aware. Because what happens is, what you're really doing, you ever seen a movie where the spouse got somebody that liked them, and they ain't told their spouse halfway through the movie, then something crazy happened, and the spouse looking like, now, wait a minute, why you never said nothing, right? So it make you look guilty when maybe you haven't done anything, maybe you were innocent in it, but the appearance of it makes you look guilty. It's the same thing. Now your spouse catch you looking at something that you have no business. And it's because it's not that you don't know what's going on. You refuse to inform them. And so now it makes you look guilty when really they could have compassion and grace if you had just admitted to what you're dealing with, right? And so you have to go to God first. You have to allow them, because sometimes we get in front of God and we deny, no, Lord, that ain't happened. No, that ain't me. The devil is like, God know you. Go on and say it. Yes, Lord. I don't want to face it, but I got to for my deliverance, for my best self to come forward. Then you got to communicate with your spouse. And then together with your spouse and the Holy Spirit, you come up with a plan of how we're going to get over this. We don't try to rush it. I don't try to fix you. You don't try to fix me. But we put it on the table so we can see what we're working with. Okay, this happened, right? You got, if you can't be yourself with your spouse, who can you be yourself with? There should never be a girlfriend or a best friend that knows more about what happened to you in your life than your spouse. Who gets married to pretend for folk? You are acting in your own marriage. And so you have to admit it and say, listen, before me and Pastor Queen got married, because we are friends first, but when we're getting married, we said, come on, let's throw it all on the table. This is what I've done, because I was a virgin, but I had done some things sexually. This is what I've done. This is what I've experienced. This is how the devil fights me. Let me tell you, put everything on the table. So, and I did it because I wanted to say, before you marry me, I want you to know what I'm coming with. Know about all the brokenness in my heart. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Because I know you're not perfect either, but can you handle it? And if you say yes, and let's do this thing, then all right. So at least you know that this is what's on the table. And so, and there's going to be other things that God revealed to me, but guess what? We can win it together. If we don't change on one another, we keep serving God. We're going to work on it, but we got to be honest with them. So I would say that to couples, that you got to be honest with yourself, honest with God. And as God reveal it and you're mulling over it, you got to tell your spouse. If you don't tell nobody else, if you don't tell your preacher, tell your spouse what's going on, because there's no need for you. It's people that got divorced, not because what was going on couldn't be fixed. Is what was going on wouldn't be discussed. Oh, that's a word right there. Not that it couldn't be fixed. You weren't even willing to tell your spouse, well, you know what's going on. You know who touched you when you were 8. And you say, I can't never speak it. If you don't speak it, you can't heal it. That's what the Bible says. Confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. Confess it. That's my spiel.
Elvin, what's some tips that you can give to a couple that's struggling sexually or maybe sexually frustrated? What's some things, some tips that you would give? You on mute. I mean, talking away.
My bad. No, I was saying, I just got one quick thing, because y'all just been hitting everything. You have to also pay attention that there's going to be resistance and warfare in that department. Because when you weren't married, you were sinning. And we all know that your flesh is always going to crave and agree with sin. But just like Pastor Brad was saying, how when you get married, it becomes worship. So then your flesh is going to resist to worship God. Your spirit wants to worship, but your flesh is always going to resist that. So anything that has to do with being godly, we all know you're going to meet a resistance. So I know a lot of people wonder why we was before we got married, because I've been hearing this all my life. Once you get married, the sex life go out the window. It's because when you were in sin, your flesh craved it. Anything that was, you know what I'm saying, that was sinful. And we all know that sexual immorality is like one of the heavy ones. That your flesh is all flesh. It's all flesh. It's nothing else but flesh. So you already know it's going to crave it. But once you get married and you make that covenant with God, you're going to meet resistance. So it's on you to get, you're going to have to fight against it. You're going to have to, definitely read the word on it, study on it, decree and declare. You're going to have to do everything that you can. To the same way you fight the devil in every other area, you have to fight the devil in that area, because kingdom marriages are ending because people are giving up. They don't want to fight. So that's what I had to say about it.
One thing I would say, a few things. So just like Pastor Queen was talking about, and what all y'all were saying really, but definitely Elvin, something that that I know that we had to is that the communication, that conversation. So one of the things that I too had a past with multiple people, and so when we finally got married, it was like everything was like it was like nasty all of a sudden, but it wasn't nasty when I was out in the world. I didn't have such reservations when I was out in the world. But even though I can just go into too much, I'm a hold back, but it was, it's like as soon as we get married, it's like all these reservations about, I don't want to, And so one of the things that, besides communication and all of that, I know that I'm trying to make sure it come out right. So you have to be careful, men and women, that you are not fantasizing or treating your spouse kind of like a porno or like some ill, one of the things that I got a revelation of a long time ago is like, you know how we say from the world, we got these phrases like, y'all want a lady in the streets and a freak in the bed. I'm not a freak ever, okay? I'm Sherelle. And so one thing that I would say is like to men and women to not treat your spouse like some lustful fantasy, something that you have seen in a porno, something that you have lusted over and you're trying to make it happen in your bedroom. You need to pay attention, be attentive to the soul, the woman that is here or the man that is here in this room, and not try to make that spouse be something. Don't try to bring something that you didn't experience from somebody else. Like, we are here. And so it's hook. And so in my mind, I got a history, he got history, so we coming together and trying to, like, it's like all this, it's not no weird stuff, but it's like, bruh, we're not seeing each other. We're not creating an environment for us. And then another thing is, even in the way that you, you prepare for having sex, the intimacy that goes into the day when y'all know y'all want to come together, all of that matters. And so, like you were saying, Pastor Queen, you got to pay attention to your spouse and if they don't respond to certain things, don't continue to do them, to change them. Find out what gets you going. What can I do to get you going? Another thing is, these are practical, but these is real, because I think about the Song of Solomon and how the exchange was about, look how good you are, look how beautiful you are, look at how your breasts sit up. They talking like that, and it's creating the scene. You know what I'm saying? It's making the love be on fire. You know what I'm saying? This love is as strong as death, because of that admiration. And so I think that we have to, as spouses, have to get back to that. Turn off those TVs if they are causing you to want your wife to be Beyonce. I ain't Beyonce, And I can't be her. I don't want to be her. I want to be Sherelle. And Sherelle like it a certain way. And so, and another thing that I would say is practical too is realize, like, with knowing your spouse, realizing the changes that's going on within them. The woman that I was at 18, baby, ain't here no more. And so I, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want that craziness. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, as you know, it's a, you know, like certain things that was cool when we was young and whippersnappers and we ain't had no kids is different.
Sherelle said, look, Sherelle said, listen, these old knees don't bend the same way they used to. So you take this leg the wrong
way.
You take this leg the wrong way, and I'm going to have to call out of work on Monday and Tuesday.
Oh my gosh, Pastor Fran is a mess. But real talk, listen, okay? No, but for real, like, you know, you gotta come on, hanging on to the ceiling, Pastor Trinise. But for real, like, you know, all of that life before kids was different, like he just said. So, like, or you know, just in age, as you grow, as you mature, as your taste become different, you know, different things happen to our bodies and to our experiences and to our maturity, where you know you might be down for the, you know, the quick, and now I don't need all that. I need sensual, slow, easy, like, let's keep, you know what I'm saying, let's really have a moment and an experience here, you know. And so it, I just think it's so important to be attentive to each other so that you're creating a unique experience. Not saying that every time it's going to be rose petals all over the floor, but I'm saying that you are attentive to your spouse to and paying attention to what they like and listening, and not trying to create this false picture, this false thing that we have been fed over movies and all of that. Get that out your mind and create a real unique experience with the one that you love. Y'all get on my nerves in these. Y'all,
Pastor Tony.
Y'all is a mess.
Pastor Tony,
praise God, Pastor Tony.
Get it. That's right. So that's how to get it. It was
that's
something
real.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that is so real that your body has been through changes. Like, you know, Lakeisha even commented, my body is different after kids. Why ain't nobody tell me? I'm about to be 40 in like 6-8 days or whatever. Like, why ain't nobody tell me that this body is not the same? You know what I mean? We talk about it with rest. Girl, yeah, I go to bed at 9 now. And, you know, we do all that. But ain't nobody talking about, yeah, you ain't going to be. When I was in the world, I felt like I can get warmed up real quick. Now I'm just looking at God like, what is happening right now? Like, do I need to eat pineapples or something? Like, what are we doing? And it's like, you frustrated with your own self. I'm just like, what is going on? And so it seemed like it take more longer foreplay to get to a point when before it was like you was young, springy, just, you know what I mean? So it was easy to just give it away. So when I hear when I hear people and they be like, yeah, I want to do it 4 times a day and all this, I'm looking like, well, maybe something's wrong with me, because
look,
4 times in the same day.
Look, don't mess up the mood like a Charlie horse. My God, wait a minute. Oh, this leg, Lord Jesus.
Pastor Brad, if you don't go on mute.
Come on. Y'all know as you get older, you be like, wait a minute, hold on, this leg ain't right. Wait a minute, it's bending the wrong way. Come on. You better, and look, you gotta reevaluate your sex life as you age. Because if you still wanted to be good, you better talk about this rotator cup don't go the way it used to.
Come on.
Don't be pulling on this shoulder. No, Lord, don't pull on this one. Come on, you, everybody, it's real stuff.
Real
it's
tall.
Stuff that happens as you get older. Come on.
For those who struggle with Charlie horses, just get yellow mustard. It works. Okay? It works.
It's so,
Charlie horses, yellow mustard. That's an old school joint, but it works.
Another thing that you hit on earlier, Pastor Queen, too, is making sure that you do take care of those other things. Like, for like, I know for me, like, I cannot relax when I'm thinking about what bill has to be paid, what like those big things that's like sitting behind and just I don't like I need a little bit of order before I can like relax, because you need to be able to relax and like your mind not drift when you are in the moment. And so for me, I had this conversation with Elvin before, like, bruh, we gotta take care of like this. I ain't that girl no more that just life can be happening and I'm just, you know, the world crashing all around me and I'm just going on by my, no, I'm thinking about things. So let's try to not, you know, let's try to make sure what needs to, the priorities are taken care of when they've been, you know, when they need, when they are supposed to, so we don't have something lingering over our experience. And another thing,
paying early now.
That's right. The bills better be paid. And thank you, Lord knows we didn't pay my long
you pay him. You communicated the man will rock it on. If you don't
And we didn't come a long way. But another thing that I had to tell, that we had to have a real discussion about is don't snap on me and like be saying all this crazy stuff and then just think I'ma just come and be able to just bust it wide open. Like that's like that kills those moments where we blow up at each other. It kills the libido, it kills the drive. And so you have to make sure you settle those situations, those arguments, settle them for real, so that when we come together, I ain't mad at you on the low low. Like I can't, you know, I'm not there. So I'm still, you know, I might hold back. I don't want to do that. So it's important to settle those lingering issues, those anything that's priority that needs to be taken care of. Take care of that so when y'all come together, y'all are clear-minded and ready to roll. Anything else, anybody? So where we at? We at 8:35. So the next scripture that I wanted to bring up, and y'all hit on a bunch of a couple of questions that I had up here. So one of the questions was, and I think y'all already talked about it. Elvin, you didn't talk about this. How has your sexual immorality or your history affected your marriage and your sexual life in your marriage, or has it? And another question, well, go ahead and answer that first and then we'll move on. If you have, if anybody else want to add to it too.
Oh, I mean, for me, really, I don't really see where it affected, because I don't know.
Tell the truth, Deacon.
No, I don't have no problems. At any time, in a place like Janet Jackson's.
You know what? All right, so the next question, Deacon, the next question. So Hebrews 13:4, Paul ends that Paul ends that Hebrews book with some conclusions, some exhortations, and he says in verse 4 in chapter 13, it says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. So my next question for you all is, what exactly does he, what does this mean that the marriage, let the marriage bed be kept undefiled? And a rolling question that's a little bit off, but it's still, I feel like we need to hit it. I really want to hear the answer to this is, so what I'm asking is, what is defiling the marriage bed? What can defile the marriage bed? What is off limits, you know, and why is masturbation wrong?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
That's a whole separate question.
Yeah. It's a separate question, but I need us to hit that tonight. Yep.
Sure. So I'll address it a couple of ways. So what does it mean for the marriage bed to be undefiled? So the first thing that you have to look at when you're looking at the marriage bed being defiled is, number one, you have to look to the standard of God first, right? So what is the standard of God for sex? Sex is for one man and one woman. So anything outside of that defiles it, right? Sex is also, one man, one woman. another standard of God for sex is that there is that's one of the main things I'll say. So you can't have multiple partners and say y'all bringing in somebody else for sex and all, because that's outside of the standard of God. The Bible says let one man and one woman become one, right? It doesn't say you, Sarah, Lakeisha from down the street, Nighttime on Red, and this one from, and all y'all come together. No, we don't do that in the kingdom of Christ. We don't have orgies, right? It's one man and one woman come together in covenant to worship the Lord. And so another standard is once you have the standard of God in place, that these things are not outside of the standard of God. Number two, you have to see what is agreed upon between you and your spouse. Anything that is not agreed upon between you and your spouse defiles your wedding bed, because the Bible says, how can two walk together lest they agree? And so if your husband says that, baby, I want to punch you in your face because that turns me on, and you say, wait a minute, and he haul off and cock you one, he just defiled your marriage bed, because there is no agreement, right? It is no agreement. You have to be able to agree upon what is acceptable in our marriage. If you're not for that, then it's not agreed upon. So I would say that, and then I'm gonna say something that is not scripture, but it's still right. You also have to look at what is biologically beneficial. What is biologically official? So even if your wife, and this could be funny, I'm gonna say the first one is funny, then I'm gonna say one that's serious. Even if your wife agrees and she said, baby, I like to be burned, you going to jail. Cause when she show up with half her arm burned up, you going to jail, bruh. And so don't let her get you angry. Y'all agreed upon it, but it's not biologically healthy to do, right? So that one's funny. Here's one that people don't talk about in church, but it's the truth. Your booty was made for exiting only. People don't talk about it, but it, things like that, biologically, God made for things to come out of it, not for anything to go in. Right? So when you talk about that, it caused all type of colon issues, rectal cancer, and all that. Check the facts and all of that. You start doing that type of stuff because biologically, you can look at your body and tell, oh, one wasn't meant to go in there. One wasn't meant for that. You know what I mean? And so you start doing things, and 10 years down the road, you got a diagnosis and you praying for God to deliver you. But biologically, you didn't look at yourself and say, wait a minute, this may not be meant for this. You ain't supposed to be putting nothing in my ear. Lord Jesus, you ain't supposed to, come on, you have to look at your biologically and say, this don't go right. Right? This is not made for that. And so in the same thing, and I know I had to look it up when it was somebody said a joke. And I had to look up, they said, you don't want to be single in these days because they out here pegging. And I had to look up what pegging is. And so now, and believe me, these things happen in the church too. These happen with people that say they saved too. So now there's a thing out there, and we're talking grown, right? Now there's a group of people that are married where the woman put on a device and she penetrating her husband. And they call it pegging. And people into it. So we in a world that defiles your marriage, because biologically, we ain't made for that, bro. And you ain't gonna never be the same after that, bro. You got something off with you from then on. Something is off. Bro, you ain't gonna never be the same again, Jesus. And so you have to have these conversations, because what's happening, I heard a pastor say this, what's making the single women wet is making the married women dry. Because we get in church and we get in God and we don't talk about these things. And so some people's marriage, they're being destroyed, and they're being destroyed biologically because nobody in the church is talking about it. So you need to, come on, let's talk about it. So those are the three things I say defile the marriage bed.
Yeah,
so
I got nothing, because you did that all by itself.
All right.
But that biological one, Pastor Brad, me and Pastor Brad always talk about, because you know we do marriage counseling, right? So we always talk about, what if we have a couple that come to us and, you know, we'll have these scenarios. I'm talking about like extreme scenarios, and, you know, what would be our answer? So when you don't have like that standard of, you know, that layout, like he just laid it out, you'll just be like, Yeah, I don't know what to tell y'all, but I'm
talking about pastor. Talking about pastor.
Everything.
Huh? Talking about pastor. I pastor. We like to bring a goat in the bedroom with us. What y'all got going on?
That's animal. That's demonic.
You know what I mean? But it happens. But if don't nobody say something, how somebody gonna know? If you come from the world and you become a Christian and the church ain't talking about it, you're gonna think it is like, you know what I mean? You know, all bars off. Like, you just, everything can go. But that's not true. And that's why I'm glad Pastor Brad talked about even that biological thing, because we be doing whatever we want to do with our bodies and be trying to figure out why we got cancer or issues and stuff like that. No, it needs to be really, really healthy. It really needs to be a thing. So I was going to say, there's one word that is at the root of everything Pastor Brad talked about, specifically the first two, and that is honor. Like, that we will love each other according to our honor code. So if you don't articulate, this is what honors me, and he articulate, this is what honors me, then you can actually come together and say, this is what we, you know what I mean, agreed to do in A, B, and C. So yeah, love it.
This is so good. And to be honest, that's why I think it's important that we just go straight in and talk about it, because people are freaky, okay? And we're gonna encounter people that done a lot of things. And then you got people that come from, like, I think about women that come from like sex trafficking and all of that type of stuff. Like, they got women doing wild stuff out here. Little girls doing crazy stuff, little boys. Like, people have been through a lot of things sexually, and which is why I'm like, let's just talk about it. Open the door, let's just have a good conversation about it and keep it real, keep it 100, and ask them hard questions. And so my next hard question is about, so is oral, what about oral sex? Is that permissible? Like, I know in Song of Solomon, it's like people equate what it says, let me blow on your garden, as oral sex. Is that okay? Do we see that as, you know, permissible? And the question about masturbation, that's a question. I know that's not really, you know, marriage, you know, is different with masturbation, but I just think about how, and I know that's in the, you know, I know the world does whatever, but it's still such a norm thing that people, you know, and I haven't heard a clear answer about, does God look down, you know what I'm saying? Why would, you know, somebody alone, and I heard different ideas about why, but I haven't heard a concrete answer. And so I want us to address that, so that, because we never know, like, you know, you never know, just because people marry, we never know, you know, you don't know who, what people dealing with, what, you know, what things go on behind the scenes. And so this is a safe place. We are not here to condemn anybody. We're here to have a honest, holy conversation. And the Holy Spirit is here. I don't know about y'all, but I just feel like overwhelmed with the presence of God, because this is, if we say that God gave us sex, he invented sex for the believer, for the man and the woman, for our marriages to thrive and prosper and to be of worship, then let's go hard, let's go in it. And so so anybody that want to jump in, masturbation and oral sex, what y'all say?
So I'll tackle it. So I've told this in my testimony many times. Before I got saved, because I was before I got married, I was a virgin when I got married, but I had done things and I struggled really hard with lust and masturbation as a young man. And so I'll address both of them. I think that oral sex is an agreement thing between you and your spouse, because biologically our sexual organs are made for it to go in things and for things to come out of it. Okay, without being too graphic. And so, because biologically there's nothing that is harmful about that, right? The Bible says, let your, like the scripture you read
let
first,
you dirty.
Yeah. And like teacher Sherelle said, read the scripture, let your wife's breasts satisfy you always, right? If your wife's breasts are satisfying you, that sounds as if you're not just looking at them. Come on, somebody. I believe that that is an agreement thing. Whatever you all agree with, it is on you two. But I believe that your body biologically, your mouth, your genitalia is meant for things to go in, come out of. So you take that for what you mean, right? Now, masturbation. Now, I have heard, even in the body of Christ, several different views on this, right? But what I will do is reference 1 Corinthians 7:4, where the Bible says that when you get married, 1 Corinthians 7:4 says when you get married, that your body no longer belongs to you. It belongs to your wife as a husband, and your wife's body no longer belongs to her. Belongs to you as a wife, it belongs to your husband. And so what that means is that your body is not your own. And so what that means is that if I am pleasuring myself with my wife nowhere in the vicinity, nowhere in the bed with me or whatever, for my own sexual gratification, I have just broken covenant with her, and I'm doing something only for me. You know, I know married people do different things. They may do it in front of each other or whatever. That's on them, right? Because that's something that spouse is aware of. It's not a hidden thing. Anything that you have to hide already lets you know. So I believe that masturbation in marriage, if it is not done with your spouse in an agreed setting, right? Y'all together, right? Or I can't speak for nobody else, but I think it should be a mutual thing. So if say that you're traveling for work somewhere, right? And y'all doing cyber sex or whatever, and whatever it is, I ain't gonna say that's wrong, because y'all married to each other in covenant, and y'all decide that y'all want to do that, that's on y'all, right? I don't think that that's a covenant breaker. But when it becomes a thing that you're doing solo, sex is made for to be mutual thing. There is no such thing as sex without your spouse, because y'all doing this together. So if y'all doing it in front of one another, or this is the thing that y'all decided to do because y'all out of town and y'all keep y'all intimate, that's something that y'all have agreed upon, and y'all still doing it together. I think when you're doing separately, and I've heard men say this, even men in church say this, I be horny all the time. And so what that tells me is that you've gone beyond your sexual desire, that you got some type of insatiable lust, right? That even your wife can't satisfy you, that you want it all the time, and you at work and you got to run to the bathroom, because I heard a story about that too, that you run into the bathroom in the middle of the day. You got a demon. That's not a natural sexual desire, that you can't even function throughout the day without releasing yourself. Something is going on spiritual. And so you got lust, and your wife ain't gonna never satisfy you, and usually that lead to you cheating or dipping outside, because no, your wife can't satisfy you. Even if she gave it to you every day, you in the middle of the day got something. There's a lust problem there, and you need to pray for deliverance and seek help and wise counsel on how you can be delivered from that, because your wife will never satisfy you. Same thing for ladies, your husband will never satisfy you, you know. And another thing that goes on right now is that, and this happened in marriage, because believe it or not, Christians have pleasure chest pop parties. And I know women are familiar with that, where Christian women get together and they have parties where they're selling lingerie and sex toys. I said the same thing for women. If y'all doing things on your solo without your husband, I believe that you're violating the covenant that you made, because you said that your body don't belong to you, meaning that you don't do things solo. It belongs to your spouse. So if sexual pleasure is going to come, it has to be an agreement with you two together, not you doing something for your own personal sexual gratification.
That's Thank you thought. For hitting that, because I was going to, I meant to ask about the toys, because that's I see, you know, that they sell, you know, people selling stuff. So I always wonder, like, is that cool and that? And I love the fact of agreement. And I was thinking about, like, what about soldiers? Like, if they have a wife and they are like, you know, deployment. Like, so I always wondered about that. Okay, good. Anybody else want to hit
that? I got you hit the point too, that when you actually masturbate, you have to have an image in your mind. So and some people be like, well, I'm thinking about my wife, but you're still doing it without the wife. That's the part. It's supposed to be a together thing, not a you solo thing.
I just had one more thing to add too. Also, you have to think about, it's a lack of self-control when you can't wait. If you can't wait until you are with your spouse, that shows a lack of self-control. And we all know how God feels about being able to control yourself. So when you can't control yourself to the point where, if your wife is gone for a couple of days, or she's at work, or whatever the situation may be, and you can't wait for her, then that shows that you are, you know, you have a lack of self-control, and that's something that you have to, you know, get God to, you know, deal with in your life.
That's good. That's really good. And so that brings me to my next scripture and the last couple of questions I want to hit before we go. This is really good. Like, I really feel like we should keep going, but we go get ready to wrap it up. So 1 Corinthians 6, Pastor Ray, you went to chapter 7. I'm going to go take it back to chapter 6, verse 18. It says, and we get into like sexual sin and stuff, but it's just, this is just stuff I really have a question about. So run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And so I want my last couple of questions is, one, kind of delve into that scripture right there and explain, like, if you can expound on sexual sins, why they are more like, why does it say, you know, it's more damaging, and, you know, why is it more damaging against your own body? Like, just explain that a bit more. And then my last question and how I want us to end off is, what are the benefits of thriving, prosperous sex in your kingdom marriage? Like, what are there any benefits from, you know, and have you experienced benefits that, you know, you can talk about with having good sex in your marriage? And so, anybody, go into it.
So, a couple of things. When you talk about sexual immorality, why does the scripture say that it affects, it sins against your own body? It goes back to what we talked about originally, covenant. So we make a covenant with our God, then we make a covenant with our spouse, and then we enter other covenants with people that we're in relationship with. But so the Bible says that, like what the scripture you just read says, that we don't belong to ourselves. When I decided to give my life to Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus. Meaning that the Bible says, Galatians 2 and 21, my favorite scriptures, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. This life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That scripture basically means when Jesus got on the cross, the old me got on the cross with him. When he got up, I gave him my body to do with it whatever he chooses to do. And so that means that I no longer control. And so when I am in a sexual immorality, it affects me, number one, spiritually, because the more you sin, the easier it becomes to do. And we know that sin, God doesn't move, but sin draws us away from the Lord, right? God is still speaking to us, but the further you walk away from the person, the harder it is to hear them, to remember what they look like, or to honor what they're saying, because you can no longer clearly discern what they're saying. So it affects us spiritually. It affects us soulishly, our will, our intellect, our emotions. The more that we're involved in sexual sin, it degrades our mind. It degrades the way that we think about ourselves. If you're sleeping with somebody else and then going home to your spouse, it degrades the morality of what you feel is right and wrong, right? And then it affects your body, because you could always come home with a disease. It also can help affect you physically, where you have, men can deal with premature ejaculation because you've done things so much that when you want to please your wife, you no longer can. You could deal with impotence. A woman could get some type of disease as well, or she becomes sexually frigid because you've done it so much. You talk about people that have to be redeemed, that they were once porn stars and now they follow the Lord Jesus. And they have to be redeemed and restored sexually because you've done everything. You've done everything under the sun. And now you get married and you want a covenant, but you have to fight off all that. So it affects you physically, right? It can make you not want anything. You don't desire nothing from nobody because you've done everything. And so it affects your body, affects you, your spirit, your soul, and your body, right? What was the second part of your question again, Teacher Sherelle?
The last question was, what are the benefits of sex in our kingdom marriages, and how do we benefit in our lives, or any type of benefits that come from just thriving, good, holy sex that we have?
So I'm gonna say one thing. So 1 Corinthians 7:5, it says, and I read Amplified Classic, it says, "Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, except perhaps mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer, but afterwards resume marital relations, lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint of sexual desire." And so I wanted to say that one of the benefits of sex within marriage is that it's a way to keep the devil out of your house. And see, we look at sex as a physical thing, but we were made for sex. It is, I know what happens, right? But if nothing's physically wrong with you and your spouse, my question is, why are you not having no sex? And if you're not having it, why are you not trying to figure out why you're not having it? Because you may be inviting the devil. The Bible says neither give place to the devil. You could be breaking up your own marriage and inviting the devil in by not having sex. So sex was given to us as a weapon against the devil. Come on. Some brothers are saying right now when you're home, use your weapon, honey. Use your weapon. You talk about the devil in our house. Use your weapon. God said come together because it's a weapon against the devil. Come on, brothers. I know I'm helping you tonight. I'm helping you, brothers. I'm helping you, brothers. Use your weapon.
Let me mute Deke.
Put them tongues away. Put that prayer shawl away and put on that negligee. And let's fight the devil. Let's fight him. Come on. And so that is an important thing. The scripture says, I didn't say it, the scripture says that if you're not going to, in a marriage, because really what the scripture is saying is that you should be having sex. And if y'all agree, y'all go fast for a while because you're getting closer to God, you're trying to hear the voice of God. Okay, do that. But then quickly, if you read King James, it says quickly, come back together, lest the devil gain the advantage over you. Because God is saying, if you married, ain't nothing physically wrong. Y'all ain't got no ailments or nothing. Why y'all not having sex? You inviting the devil in to play with his mind or to play with her mind or to cause. Because I know people that are, it's the other way around, where the woman is ready, the wife is ready for it, and the man is not having sex. Like something's wrong. He's not having sex. He's not communicating with her, right? And so it's not always the man that's hot to trot. Sometimes it's the wife. And it's something like, and you have to not give, that gives place to the devil. Well, you don't want me. Is something wrong with me? Am I not attractive to you? Is it somebody else? And all these things is coming in because there's no communication and then you're not coming together. It fights the devil when a husband and a wife that is physically able come together sexually.
I think the other benefit, because he tackled that first one. I think the other benefit is that you stay united. There's a unified front that happens because again, you're becoming one and you're knitting your soul together. So there's such a divine agreement that really begins to happen. So when you do it often, that's the other weapon that's against the enemy, not just, you know, to come together, but even further, when the more y'all come into agreement with what's going to be, it gives him no room to play either one of you or your household. And I just think that's a main thing, because you know, that oneness and that unified front is what needs to be always present and energized, you know, in your house. So I would say that is probably one of the good benefits. I think it's also a healthy release when you are like emotionally spent, or you just feel like, I mean, because, you know, as women, we have a lot of emotions. Not saying that men don't have emotions, but sometimes you just need a hug. You know what I mean? And it may lead to something else. And now everything is gravy. Like whatever tension you had before, it ain't even a thing no more. It clears your sinuses. Y'all looking at me. You asked for benefits. y'all cannot stay still. That's what's wrong with y'all right there. But I'll stay there because y'all can't come back. Y'all can't come back.
Deacon, what are the benefits, honey? And don't come tonight talking about some, yeah, you know, we got to fight.
I'm coming. Pastor Brad, we're going to put that scripture, I'm going to put that up on the wall, and we're going to confess it every day.
What are the benefits? Come on, Matt. What are the benefits so we can end tonight, please?
Oh, the benefits is happiness for me. happiness, pure, unadulterated happiness. That is it. Amen. Joy, the joy of the Lord.
He said, Al Green, love and happiness. Come on.
Love and happiness. That's what it's all about.
Oh my God, it
makes me happy.
And I would say, so one of the things that I literally prayed about, talked to God about this year, I talked about having better sex this year. And one of the things, like, I know for some people it's like weird, it may be a little like talking, but I hope this conversation tonight has encouraged you to go before the Lord about your sex life. Okay, I have had times when the Holy Spirit has said, and not all the time, but I have definitely had moments where the Holy Spirit said, make love to your husband right now. And we did, like, and you know what I'm saying? Just, and so one of the benefits is just growing with your spouse, like the exploration, like we have grown sexually together, and we have, you know what I'm saying? Like, and not to get too graphic, but we have, you know, just experienced a level with each other that we haven't been before. And so that's what keeps us having fun. Like he said, having joy and excitement and laughing. And so I just think that's something that we should definitely pay attention to just begin to have conversation. And just, I pray that tonight it really blessed all of the marriages, anybody that's watching, that you feel a little more free, that you know, we don't have to walk around in a shame from our past or what we did sexually before, but that you are a new creation in Christ, and that so you can have a joyous, a prosperous, a thriving, a beautiful sexual life with your spouse if you allow God to do work in you both. And so so just take that. I pray that all of y'all that's married walk away and go and enjoy yourselves, like, for real. And I hope that, you know, throughout Prime we continue to have these conversations. Prime Marriage Ministry meets, we try to meet every other month, so August is our time to meet again. So I will let you all know details on what we will do, whether we'll go out and hang out together and just have a good time. And then of course the next More Than Paper Bible study will be in September, so just be on the lookout for that. I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in, and I will turn it over to Pastor Brad to close us out.
Sure. I want to give one other piece of encouragement and revelation, okay, and understanding to men that are in the body of Christ. One thing that I do not understand is the oppression of women in the body of Christ. And what I say about this is that we take scripture out of context, and you may be holding back your biggest blessing when you oppress, suppress your wife from becoming the full expression of who God has made her to be. So you married to her, and she's okay to be the mother to your children and to be your maid or your cook around the house, but she's not good enough to fulfill her assignment in God. I'm talking to this because you may not be having the best sexual relationship, because if she's repressed in life, she'll be repressed in the bedroom. And you thinking that you doing it Big Papa style and all of that, and she's shut down and dying internally, and you not even getting the best sex in your marriage because of the fact that you won't let her rise to who God has made her to be. And so I want to encourage every man, let go of what you've been taught in your denomination, in your past, and embrace the word of God. Her becoming fully outside of the bedroom, who God has made her to be, is key to what she can give to you and release in the bedroom. And so I want to encourage men that you may have grew up in an oppressive way where women's supposed to be in the background and not seen, and you're the person that's supposed to be out front, and you the one that's supposed to be the breadwinner only, and she should just submit to you and all of that. You ruining the woman that God has given you, the joy of your life, the best marriage you can have, you ruining it because oppressing her outside of the bedroom oppresses her inside of it. And yeah, she may lay there and take it, but you're not even seeing the best version of her. She really can rock your world for real, but she can't because you've already oppressed her outside. And so my life has gone to another level with my wife in the department of our sexual health, because I allow my wife free to be who she is outside of the house, in our church, in her business, in who God has called her to be, the assignment that God has given her. And so she's free there. She'll be free in the bedroom. So I just wanted to say that. You want to say something? Go ahead, Teacher Sherelle.
Can I just please throw in there, women also don't be afraid to be the initiators. I think we have an idea that men are always supposed
to be the real right now, Sherelle.
Real talk. I meant to mention it a while ago, and he just brought it up, because we have been taught like the men chasing all that, and we kind of like have this. But when you read the Song of Solomon's, both of them are mutually in chase and in search of each other. There is a mutual desire that they are both, you know what I'm saying, talking to each other and trying to get each other in the bed together. And so, women, be free to, you know, to initiate, to love on your spouse, to start the create the scene if you have to, do what you got to do, but it should definitely let it be a mutual thing. Your husband shouldn't have to always say, I need it. You girl, go on and tell him you need it too. Hello, let's go.
You better create that scene and be ready though, because if you start that fire, ain't no going back. That's what I know.
Come on, don't be scared.
No going back. The Holy Spirit. I've had to do the same thing. I've had to try different things and be creative, which is way outside the norm. You know what I mean?
I don't feel like I got the flu.
For me, the Holy Spirit, this is me. Now, I'm a night owl, y'all. Like 3 a.m, like 2 a.m, stuff like that. Brad is in his deepest sleep. And the Holy Spirit said, go wake him up. I was like, he gonna be mad, because Brad will love his sleep. That boy want no bit of mad rolled over. So
I don't
know, you gotta
mind being a little tired in the morning. I don't mind being a little tired. I just put an extra shot of espresso.
Sometimes you gotta be creative. The Holy Spirit will give you ideas. I know we look at the Holy Spirit, we're like, that's not holy conversation. Yes, it is. The Holy Spirit trying to keep you together, trying to get you closely knit together. So he'll give you creative, you know, ideas and stuff like that. So, and for the people who got kids, because that's a real moment. Sometimes you don't have the babysitter and you gotta put them away. Like, sometimes you're gonna have to, like, you know, you're gonna have to, like, get a hotel for the night. Like, you're gonna have to do some creative stuff until, you know what I mean, the kids is not a part of the house. But you cannot continually use that excuse, and then by the time the kids leave, y'all don't even like each other, because the oneness has been broken, because you haven't been coming together. And so, and then speaking to the singles, I hope that we have encouraged you to be celibate. Like, Tamila's mom, Miss Garnes, is on here, and she said, oh, I choose celibacy. And I know Miss Garnes, she is hardcore. You know what I mean? I'm saved and trying to do this right. So I know that what she said is what she meant. So I hope that other single people, you know what I mean, who is on the line, that you will say, yo, I'm committed to God's way, because I'm about to get God's best.